Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
To First Strike here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down what a card UFC 281 is shaping up to be with two title bouts. Of course, Israel Adesanya against Alex Pereira. And then we're going to get Carlos Esparza against Wei Li Zhang. Those two title bouts. And then, of course, highly anticipated matchups like Michael Chandler against Dustin the Diamond Poirier. So to help me do that, Lou Finocchiaro is standing by. Jordan Sherwood is going to join us from Chicago. Dan Vreeland and Reed Kuhn to round out this hour. But boy, let's get right to Lou Finocchiaro. You follow him on Twitter as I do, at GamBlue. He is the host of the Bout Business Podcast. Woo! Lou, this is a card, my friend, UFC 281. Sometimes you look at them and go, they're not all that they're cracked up to be. This one feels like it could be top billing. Let's start right at the top. For the middleweight strap with Izzy Adesanya going up against his old nemesis now, Alex Pereira, trying to get that middleweight strap away from Israel Adesanya. He's beaten him twice in kickboxing, but this is not kickboxing. This is MMA. Adesanya has ballooned a little bit since we talked on Tuesday to over a $2 betting favorite now. He's about minus $1.90 when you and I talked on First Strike, First Look. Do you think this move, this money move is moving in the right direction?
Well, first of all, Dave, thanks so much for having me on. It's a great lineup we have today to present to listeners. As far as this main event is concerned, you know, a 20, 30 cent move isn't a lot. And it tells me that we have probably a pretty good opening number here, at least as I'm tracking it. The opener is he minus 200. He's minus 210 now. So if a little early money came in on Pereira, to push that down, it's been balanced lately with Adesanya money. It's a hugely competitive fight. I think on one hand, you have the anvil. You have the boogeyman, the guy in Pereira that's got power in his left hand. He's coming to fight, and he's going to walk Adesanya down. On the other side, you have the artist, the guy that needs to stick and move, use space, his athleticism most especially, his deft defense, and his footwork. And it sets up to be a dynamic fight.
Lou, I know that you glean a lot from the weigh-ins, and people might look at the scale and go, okay, Alex made it no problem, 184.5. Is he at 185? But that's not the case, right? It was dicey there for Pereira to make this weight. Do you think that plays into the fight tomorrow night in Madison Square Garden?
I don't think it was dicey there for Pereira to make the weight. I believe that he's been playing psychological games all week. He has to rely on that. He's giving away dynamic experience and level of competition. He played games and looked just fine when he stepped on the scale. If anything, when you watched Izzy come out, I think he was playing a little too. He looked worse than Pereira. But if these fighter weigh-ins, the ceremonial weigh-ins, both men are ready. Both men are ready to go.
Yeah, both men know each other very well, obviously in prior organizations, with Pereira getting the better of Adesanya in two fights, and the only man still to knock out Israel Adesanya. So he'll be looking for revenge as the reigning defending champ. Let's talk about another championship bout. Carlos Esparza here, 115 pounds against the former champion in this division, Wei Li Zhang. Now, Carlos Esparza, of course, is the first champion ever in this division. But yet, it feels like she's been disrespected in this betting market. She was north of a $3 betting favorite. It's come down a little bit here. Esparza now about plus 270. But Wei Li is still over a $3 betting favorite. What do you make of this matchup? And do you think this is priced accordingly?
I think that Weili should surely be the favorite here. She's a absolute well-rounded mixed martial arts killing machine, whereas Esparza is more singularly dimensioned. Now, she is so good at wrestling, and she's so tough and carries the durability that all wrestlers do. She's been able to overcome her general lack of striking ability by her tenacity. But I think at this high level of competition, it's hard to be so singularly dimensioned. And I look for Zhang to be the outright favorite. And I think she's going to show that in the fight.
You know, I look at the numbers here, Lou. And if you look at Weili Zhang, the big favorite here, again, minus 325. KO or TKO or DQ is plus $1.20. If you like the big favorite, would you play that? Because decision, she's plus $2. It feels like Esparza's way to get the victory would be via decision here. She's plus 450 to do that. And Weili's pathway would be KO, TKO, if she can get it done inside the distance. Is that the right pathways to victory for these two 80s?
It seems it on paper. I can't see Esparza finishing Zhang outside of some kind of freak injury. But I wouldn't go so far as to think that Weili's only path is with fists. She's a grappler and spent a lot of time at Fight Ready developing her grappling wrestling. Rather, I think where I would go with it, Dave, is inside the distance. And the way they phrase that on DraftKings is any knockout, submission, or DQ. In that regard, we find Weili priced plus 100. That's the release I'll use.
I like that again because we don't like the way those big numbers. So Lou always gets the best of those numbers. Let's talk about some of the fights that you have and some picks that you've already made. I want to start off with one that you've already released for everybody that's a VSiN Pro subscriber. Claudio Puelas against Dan Hooker, the Hangman back in there here. What do you make of this matchup? Are the better days of Dan Hooker behind him now?
Well, he's 32 years old. He's been bouncing between divisions, and he's incurred tremendous damage in his career. But to say that he's done, I don't think I can go that far. In fact, I'll look at this fight, Dave, as a barometer to where he remains or doesn't remain. Cuellas, the Peruvian fighter, he's coming in from Florida, training with all those killers at AT&T. He knows what to expect. Hooker's primarily a striker, but he's long, he's lean, he's back at 155. He's loose as a goose. And I think in this fight, Cuellas is going to have to really survive a frenetic first 5 minutes. And provided he can get this fight into the second round, I think it's at that point in time that the six-year age difference and his pressure grappling will begin to make this fight look a little different. Cuellas earlier in the week was plus 140. When we released him, he's still plus money now, and I think a strong consideration.
And it is surprising. Look at it, the total rounds here, if you like that prop, the over 2.5 rounds, plus $1.25. Without picking a winner, if you think it's going to go all three, you can get plus $1.50 right there. So most people assuming this fight will not see the judges' scorecards. Let's get to Erin Blanchfield against Molly McCann, the meatball, back in there. And she is a small dog here. And this one, I believe, actually has been ticking up as the week has gone on. Small dog to get this done, rather, would be Blanchfield's over a $4 betting favorite now. So the meatball really up against it. But you see a better price is what I was trying to get to, Lou, on Blanchfield instead of laying that big price of 410.
Yes, I do. And to me, here's how this fight breaks down. Molly has to keep it standing where she's tough, durable, and will not be put away. Blanchfield is considerably younger in this fight, still developing striking skills. At 23, she's 9 years younger than McCann. She's more well-rounded. I think she's the one with the path ahead of her. And for the UFC to have been put Molly in front of Blanchfield here, I think it's one way to pay Molly back for being such a great gal and letting her fight in Madison Square Garden, but they gave her a terrible matchup. Why? Because Molly cannot handle any form of ground fighting whatsoever. She can't grapple, she can't wrestle, and all she has is a little bit of takedown D, and it's going to be tested. Blanchfield needs to get this fight to the floor, and she will. And when she does, it's my belief she'll submit Molly just because Molly doesn't have that skill in her set.
plus 350 if Blanchfield can get the submission. And to your point, if you like the underdog here in McCann, and I know you go, well, just give me the over $3 betting underdog here, 9-1 for McCann to get it done via KO, TKR, DQ. I think that might be the only pathway for the big underdog here at Madison Square Garden. Julio Arce against Montel Jackson, you've got to lean in this fight. And I think you like the dog here. Do you think this is a live dog here early on in the prelims?
Dave, I sure hope so, because I definitely released him. We got a couple of lefties. That initially makes the fight a little odd, doesn't it? So Montel Jackson, 3 years the younger man, 3 inches taller, and a 5-inch reach advantage. All the advantages to Montel Jackson, except for the fact that he really hasn't fought anyone near Arce's level, nor the level of competition Arce has faced. And let's not forget, this fight's at 135. Arce spent most of his career at 145. So fighting a slightly larger, bigger man is not going to be anything new to Arce, who, oh, by the way, is a New York City local. He'll have all the fans on his side. And should this be a close decision, I'd rather be with the local than not.
Got about 90 seconds to go with Lou Finocchiaro. Lou, on the undercard or even the main card, is there another fight that you really think we still have value here, say 24 hours before we get to this card?
Well, I would tell you, you're going to give me a chance to go anywhere I want.
Anywhere you want.
I'm going to take you to Michael Chandler. Now, I've been riding Poirier for a long time. He has seemed odd to me this week. He has seemed off. Chandler, we know what we're going to get. A powder keg, explosion, TNT, but how long will it last? Poirier, the more measured man, he's really going to be the guy that's a little bit more durable, maybe not as much power, and maybe not as much wrestling. It might be interesting if Chandler breaks the wrestling out to try and get top position here, but I do believe that the time is right to make a Michael Chandler play in it. Plus 185, I'm not afraid.
Wow. And again, very quickly, any way that thing hits the cards to you, or do you think somebody's getting knocked out?
Well, I don't think there's any way that goes all three rounds.
I don't
Dave, I love that 1.5 under makes me feel stronger that somebody's going to finish somebody here.
I think everybody would be stunned if that one goes the distance. And for more releases, go to the Bout Business Podcast. Lou, appreciate it as always. When we come back, Jordan Sherwood up next. It is First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet on the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and you're going to be able to bet on more than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for all MMA events. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for all the terms and conditions. Back here on First Strike, Dave Ross here in Las Vegas at Circa Sportsbook. Always a pleasure to catch up with Jordan Sherwood out of Chicago. Of course, he is the co-host of the unnamed MMA Podcast, which I think is the best name for any podcast. It was great to have you on Big Bets earlier today on the network here, Jordan. I want to continue the conversation that you and I had about the main event here with Israel Adesanya against Alice Pereira, because normally in MMA, we see this a lot. Rematches don't go differently very often from what we saw the first time around, but it's still technically different because that was kickboxing. How much does that factor into your handicap here that although these guys know each other well, and Pereira's beaten Adesanya twice, now in MMA, Izzy could maybe employ some different set of skills here?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both things. Yes, Israel Adesanya is going to have the advantage. He's been in championship wars. He's been reigning over the middleweight division. And obviously, he understands the differences that are going to take place in a mixed martial arts cage or octagon compared that to the ring. However, I also believe that you know, in prior opponents, Adesanya has the mental edge. I'm not sure that he's going to have that against Alex Pereira. I think that obviously, Pereira, knowing that he went twice against in a kickboxing ring, knocked him out the second time, there isn't that decisive advantage. Plus, not a lot of people have been talking about, at least I haven't heard, the two camps. City Kickboxing obviously has three other combatants on the card. I think that's very beneficial for a guy in Israel Adesanya. Mm-hmm. But Alex Pereira also training with Glover Teixeira. Who did Glover Teixeira beat to become the light heavyweight champion?
Jan Blachowicz.
And who did Jan Blachowicz beat when he went up to 205?
Izzy.
Israel Adesanya. Like, yeah, MMA math sometimes works out, sometimes doesn't. But it's very interesting that obviously Pereira is going to be able to lean on that and work with Glover Teixeira in preparation for tomorrow night.
You know, Jordan, too, when you look at the last three fights for both these guys, right? We saw what Pereira did against Sean Strickland. Keep your hands up, Sean. That didn't work out very well the last time around. So we know, like, this guy's got hands of stones. It's like a Roberto Duran thing here going, where if he gets you once, that's all it really takes to put you to sleep. Izzy has decisioned his last three fighters in victory, going all five here. Do you see that style of fight again where Izzy says, I'm not going to run into this guy's left or right hand here. I need to drag him into the deeper waters here in MMA and maybe extract some of that energy if it was, in fact, a tough weight cut. Is that, you think, what Izzy's game plan will be?
I think it has to be. I think his experience going five rounds, he's going to have to lean on that, understand that, yeah, Pereira cuts about 30 pounds to make 185. He hasn't seen a fourth round or a fifth round in mixed martial arts, and that's a different ball game. But I'm still leaning on the under. I think we get a finish. I think that Pereira is a bad matchup for Israel Adesanya. The mental game, the fact that we're going to see a kickboxing match. Pereira doesn't have to worry about the wrestling, or at least I don't believe we're going to see Adesanya try and wrestle. I don't think that would be a good recipe if he tries to do that. But I also could see Pereira getting tired and Adesanya making a statement in the latter round. So that's why I love the under at plus money still, that you can grab it at under 4.5 would be my suggested play, because it's such volatility in both guys to lean either side. So just enjoy the fight and play the total.
Yeah, and again, if you do like Izzy inside the distance and possibly by KRT, KRDQ, that's plus $3. So it's a very intriguing price point there if you think you can get the big man out of there. Let's go to the other title fight on this card, the Cookie Monster, Carla Esparza. She's getting a little bit of money, I think, as the week's going on, but she's still Weili Zhang's over a $3 betting favorite. The comeback in Esparza as the champion is plus 270. Again, you and I talked a little bit about it on Big Bets. I don't think Carla cares that she's being disrespected in the betting market, but it almost feels like she's being disrespected in the MMA community. Like, they all think, well, yeah, she's the champ, but she's not really the champ.
Yeah, I mean, listen, she beat Rose Namajunas. I mean, it was one of the worst fights we've ever seen.
Yes.
But she won the championship, and she doesn't have an exciting skill set. She grinds, she wrestles, and utilizes top game. And I think she's getting disrespected in this fight. I mean, look, she's won six fights in a row. She deserves to be the champion. You can't lay that juice on Weili. You just can't. Suffering a parlay, fine. I mean, obviously, Dave, I wouldn't be surprised if she steamrolls Carla. Like, we've seen Weili do that before. Mm-hmm. She's so powerful, very athletic, great takedown defense. But at that price right now, I'm going to sprinkle a play on Carla Esparza. I think she's gritty enough, smart enough to not be in danger and get some takedowns. I think she can get some takedowns and some control on Weili. And look, we've seen her eke out these split decision wins when she's got the more significant advantage, holding people down, top control, landing some strikes. I think it's a safe play to bet Carla Esparza, especially at that price.
And again, the Rose fight you're alluding to here as she got the belt back. Remember, Carla Esparza is the first ever champion in this division at 115 pounds. She didn't get a lot of takedowns against Rose, but Rose couldn't really do anything at distance. So that will be the chess match again here. Can Carla Esparza get those takedowns? That's her world. And you see it there by sub 12 to 1. If you think the underdog champion can get it done that way or via decision, if she can grind it out in five rounds, plus 450. I do want to get to some of your parlays that you do have on here. We got the Diamond against Michael Chandler. I know for a non-title fight, this feels like it's got title fight implications here. Both these guys want to put on a show. Chandler's still itching to get that belt. The Diamond's had it before. What do you make of that fight? Any way that goes to the cards?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, both guys are finishers. Both guys are killers. Both guys live by the sword, die by the sword. I think Dustin Poirier is a bad matchup for Michael Chandler. Unless all of a sudden Dustin Poirier's chin goes out, his well-roundedness, his boxing, the fact that he's been in, obviously, both of them obviously being in big-time fights, but I think Dustin Poirier's been in bigger fights. And look, I was in attendance when Michael Chandler won the Bellator lightweight title against Eddie Alvarez way back when in South Florida. But let me ask you this, like, Shane, how good is Michael Chandler? How good is he really? His two wins in the UFC against, yeah, credible opponents, Dan Hooker, Tony Ferguson, but the big-time guy, the top of the tier lightweight division, he's not beating those guys. And Dustin Poirier is at the top of the mountaintop. So I think absolutely I expect a finish, but my play will be Dustin Poirier, probably in some parlay with a couple of him with another fighter or two. But I do believe we get a finish. Both guys need to make a statement. We've got a new lightweight champion of the world. Winner of this fight could be the winner of Makhachev and Volkanovski probably next summer.
And Chandler, even that win against Tony Ferguson with the head kick heard around the MMA world, he lost that first round.
He was losing the first round.
There it is. All right, this play I take umbrage with. You're going against the guy from Tom's River at Madison Square Garden, and the answer, Frankie Edgar against Chris Gutierrez. But give me the logic behind it, because I understand we got an old sentimental guy here in Frankie against a younger gun.
I mean, look, yeah, it'd be great if he got his hand raised tomorrow night and just a swan song. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. But look, he's 41 years of age now. He's been finished brutally his last two fights. And what got Frankie Edgar to where he is? Obviously, his toughness, but his lateral movement and his boxing. And what weapon does Chris Gutierrez have at his disposal, which is one of the best we have? It's that calf kick. It's those leg kicks, those calf kicks. That's going to stop the lateral movement, the speed of Frankie Edgar. I don't think we get a finish in this fight. I think Chris Gutierrez, you know, coming off of Factory X, great camp, just going to, you know, pot shot his way, stop the momentum. And at some point, second or third round, Gutierrez is going to take over. But I will caution those Gutierrez backers. We've seen him get taken down 9 times in his UFC career against Cody, Durden, who we just saw compete recently. Frankie Edgar can execute that game plan and get his hand raised. But I just don't like it. I think, again, he was winning the Marlon Vera fight in some moments, and then all of a sudden gets front kicked to the face and stopped. So too big of a risk for Frankie Edgar for me to back him. So that's why I like Chris Gutierrez.
All right, if you think the fight can go the distance, minus $1.35 if they can go all three. You know, got Dominic Reyes on this card. I know Ryan Spann did miss weight in that fight. What do you make of Reyes over a $2 betting favorite? This was a guy, obviously he's a former champ. We look at him and the last couple fights out hasn't looked like the same Dom. Can he get back to his winning ways against Ryan Spann?
I think he can. It's a matchup that I do believe if Dominic Reyes is right, it favors him. He's apparently in the right mental headspace heading into this fight. That's what we've heard from his fight camp. But look, 3 losses in a row, 2 brutal finishes, didn't look good. And Ryan Spann, as athletic and talented and powerful as he has brain farts in the cage as well. And once he gets rocked, he's not the same fighter. This is almost a stay-away fight for me, honestly, Dave, as far as a recommendation on either side. But we'll probably get a finish. I mean, and one of these guys is like going out. So I think it's safe to assume the under is going to occur in this light heavyweight fight.
Yeah, look at that number if you think it's going to go all three. Plus 240, telling you everything you need to know there, Jordan. Probably not going to hit the cards. Hey, man, enjoy those fights at Madison Square Garden. Does a great job. Unnamed MMA podcast back in Chicago. Thanks, Jordan. We'll catch up again next week. When we come back, Dan Vreeland joins the program. It is First Strike here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We roll on this edition of First Strike, breaking down everything in UFC 281. Dan Vreeland joins the podcast again. You can follow him as I do at Gumby Vreeland. He is a writer at Sports Gambling Podcast, Cage Side Press, and host of Top Turtle Podcast and MMA Gambling Podcast. I don't know that there's a podcast that Dan is not a part of. It's great to have you back for this big one, my friend. Let's talk about some of your plays here. And I see one of your money line plays that I want to get to right away. And that is two of the bigger favorites here, at least on the main card. And that's the Diamond, Dustin Poirier against Michael Chandler, combined with Weili Zhang against Carlos Esparza. So you can get plus money with those two betting favorites. And I like the way you did that there. Tell me why you like these two fighters to get it done at MSG.
Well, I think Weili Zhang is a slam dunk, first of all. You know, like if you look at Carlos Esparza's style and what she did to beat Rose Namajunas, she basically beat Rose Namajunas by just doing a tiny bit more than Rose Namajunas did, which was practically nothing. So pretty much the minute that fight was over, I was like, I can't wait for Weili Zhang's second title reign, because she brings the pressure. She brings the heat. She stuffs takedowns. She's Carlos Esparza's worst nightmare. So, you know, the books have lined it appropriately, too. You're seeing it at negative 325. That's exactly where it should be, and maybe could even be a little higher. So, you know, obviously a negative 325 mark is not one that I like chasing just on the money line on its own. So I paired it with Dustin Poirier here. And the reason I really like Dustin Poirier in this fight is that, you know, Michael Chandler's best win in the UFC is Dan Hooker. And we're going to talk about Dan Hooker probably in a little bit too. You know, it's not all that impressive of a win. We've seen time and time again, when he goes in there with good boxers, the Justin Gaethjes of the world, or even Charles Oliveira, who proved to be a pretty damn good boxer too, he gets outboxed. He gets over aggressive. He gets stung in, like, I'm not saying he doesn't have good wrestling or he doesn't have an avenue to win via wrestling here, but the fact of the matter is he's chosen to be entertaining, and I think it's ultimately cost him a couple of fights, and I think it cost him this one too. So, you know, the over $2 price tag there on Dustin Poirier, the over $3 price tag on Weili Zhang, being able to get plus money on them combined makes sense to me.
It's very interesting, Dan, because you bring up a good point about Michael Chandler. He's kind of gone the Justin Gaethje route, right? Which is, I could wrestle if I want to wrestle. Gaethje never wrestles, right? Chandler never seems to wrestle. So they're putting on shows, but do they want to win? It feels like a conundrum for some of these fighters. They are getting high-profile fights, but he's not winning enough of those high-profile fights.
Yeah, and he's not winning most of those high-profile fights against guys who he should be wrestling against. You know, like, we saw him do a little bit of wrestling against Charles Oliveira, and it worked. It worked in the first round when he wrestled Charles Oliveira. He didn't immediately go back to it in the second round. And after that, he was stung and completely put out cold by the boxing. And yeah, I think it is that big question that fighters often have to ask themselves. Do I want to be extra entertaining and get extra, you know, get the boss's good graces, so to speak? Or do I want to win this fight? And, you know, at a certain point in time, you got to win the fights, because the good fights don't last if you don't win either.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of, Carla Esparza does not seem to care about how she gets it done. And as you mentioned, it's no secret, right? That's why she was a first-time champion. It was wrestling. Now she's the champ again, did a little bit more than Rose. Do you worry at all about Weili Zhang being able to stuff those takedowns? Do you think because she's proficient in it, she can keep this fight standing? And if so, then it really could be the wipeout that you're prescribing.
Yeah, I think she'll do just a fine job doing it. We saw Joanna Jędrzejczyk stuff the takedowns of Carla Esparza all those years ago. And granted, Carla Esparza may have gotten a little bit better, but she's also aged a little bit. Mm-hmm. The other thing is with Weili Zhang being so powerful, so physically strong, I think there's a good chance that even if she does get taken down, she slowly works her way up. And I think her cardio holds up a little bit better than Carla's here. So, you know, even in the odd chance where she gets taken down a couple of times early in the fight, I think the hands are going to eventually overwhelm Carla.
You mentioned Dan Hooker. The Hangman's been fluctuating in weight classes here recently, going up against Claudia Puelas, back up at 55 here. What do you make of the matchup here? Do you think that Dan's in the right division, or is he just getting long in the tooth?
I think Dan's now back in the right division. I like him at lightweight a lot more than I like him at featherweight. Like, I saw a picture of him and all the City Kickboxing guys this week, and he looks damn near as big as Israel Adesanya, right? Like, the guy is enormous. It's crazy because they had him in between Israel Adesanya and Brad Riddell. He looks way closer to Izzy's size than Riddell, and he was fighting in the same division as Riddell, which is nuts. So, yeah, I think he's in the right division. But that being said, I think he got an awful matchup here. This is the UFC's chance to build a guy like Claudio Puelas. I love that they put it on pay-per-view. He's a guy that I think the UFC does love, too. He goes out there, he puts on shows, and not only does he put on shows, but he's been doing some of their commentary for their Spanish language broadcast as well. So, like, Puelas is a guy they're ready to put stock into. And I think he has a massive grappling advantage here over Dan Hooker. I think he takes Hooker down fairly easily here. And in addition to that, since moving to, you know, Killcliff MMA or Sanford MMA or whatever the hell you want to call it at this point in time, like, since moving there, his submission skills have gone through the roof. The guy's got 3 knee bar finishes alone in the UFC. I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled off a submission here. I know Hooker's somewhat decent at defending the submissions, with the exception of the Islam Makhachev fight, which, you know, like, no shame in that, obviously. But, you know, I see the number down there on Puelas at +250 for submission. I mean, I think the money line already is pretty tempting, but, like, if you were trying to make it a little bit more interesting, +250 doesn't look like a bad number to me.
No, absolutely. That's a juicy number there. I was kind of picking up what you're putting down there. I know that a lot of people like to bet on the main card, but Dan, I love some of the plays that you give, because it's like, hey, don't sleep early in the fight. You like Carlos Ulberg in the very first fight, but you like a method of victory. What do you see there?
Yeah, I love Carlos Ulberg here by knockout. It was one of the ones I circled right away. You know, I see him coming in as a -130 favorite. But, like, if you're looking for the knockout prop, some of the knockout props I saw were 250, 300. And you take a guy who's a slight favorite and know he's so good at kickboxing. And I think the only reason he's coming in at that number is because Nicolai Nagumaranu is just a guy who hasn't really ever been knocked out. He lost one fight by decision. He loves to wrestle. He's not an awful boxer in his own right, but the problem is when he comes forward, he leans forward heavily with his chin up in the air. And with the counter striking of a kickboxer like Carlos Ulberg, it really is only going to take one shot for that to be a mistake. So, you know, at 3-1, I think it's definitely a good play here.
Let's stay in the undercards here. Mike Trezano missed weight. He actually, out of the fighters that didn't miss weight, he missed it by the most, a 1.6 pounds in his fight here. Do you think that's going to be a detriment in his attempts here? He's got to give up 20% of his purse.
Yeah, well, so it's going to be bad for his wallet, first of all. Yeah. But, it's also going to be bad for him in this fight, because as we've seen time and time again with people who miss weight, they're at a disadvantage for a couple of reasons. Because, first of all, I do think Mike Trezano did everything in his power to try to lose the weight here. I don't think this is a give-up situation. He did get within, I think it was 1.5 or 2 pounds at this point. And, like, you know, that's not really the give-up mark. The give-up mark is when you see a guy miss by 4 or 5 pounds. Right. So we know he was giving it his all. As a result, I think he's really going to be extra worn out. He's going to be drawn out. And he's fighting a guy who hits so damn hard. Sungwoo Choi hits incredibly hard. He's got some great knockouts on his resume, both in the UFC and on the regional scene before he got to the UFC. And that's another one where the KO prop is really juicy right now. I saw it at +300,
ooh,
just like Carlos Ulberg. If you think Sungwoo Choi is going to land those hands, and certainly after seeing him miss weight, maybe that number won't stay there, but after seeing Mike Trezano miss weight, I wouldn't hesitate on pulling the trigger on that one either.
I feel like some people are going to be on Matt Vrbola here at plus money, but I don't think that's the way you're going, Dan. What do you see in that fight?
No, and I love Matt Vrbola too. Like, I'm a big fan of the guy. Mm-hmm. I love watching him fight. I think he's like one of the nicest dudes in the whole world too. But the problem is that Aman Ziatar is just a guy who throws huge and heavy hands. You know, like, I don't know how he came in. Like, this opened with Matt Vrbola as a slight favorite, right, which was shocking to me. It's since been bet the other way, which I think is the right move here, because the guy's undefeated and he's 2-0 with two violent knockouts in the UFC. Now, granted, he's been away for a little while after that whole duffel bag full of potato incidents on Fight Island. But at the end of the day, he's still a guy who hits really hard, who defends takedowns really well. And while Matt Vrbola came out and knocked a guy out his last time out and showed he's got a little bit of hands too, it's different knocking a guy out who's making his debut and knocking a guy out who's shown that he himself is a hell of a kickboxer. So yeah, I like Ziatar. I see him at negative 150 now. That number's probably going to trend even further up come fight time.
I got about a minute to go here, Dan. I got to get your thoughts on the main event here. You know, normally rematches don't go the same way, but this is not kickboxing. This is now true MMA here. With the last stylebender against Alex Pereira. Is Pereira going to do the trick here and become new middleweight champion? Or do you think that there's some tricks for Adesanya still to show here at 33 against the 35-year-old?
I'm actually going to go with Adesanya. And I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, this person's talking about shooting a takedown. This person's talking about shooting a takedown. I don't think either of them are going to get going in the grappling department. But what I do think is going to happen is I think you're going to see Israel Adesanya with more cage work then you see Alex Pereira with it. Alex Pereira wants this open in the distance. I think you're going to see Adesanya in close range, pushing him up against the cage, wearing him out, throwing the knees to the body. And I think ultimately that's going to be the thing that pays dividends. So while a lot of people are like, you know, you might see some grappling, one of these guys might shoot a takedown, I think you're kind of a fool for believing that a couple of kickboxers want to do that. And at the end of the day, I think you are going to see the more complete MMA fighter in Israel Adesanya win this fight, but maybe not necessarily in like a double leg takedown kind of way.
Yeah, and I'm sure Izzy still wants to get revenge for the way he lost those first two fights against Alex. That's going to be intriguing as well. Dan, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Enjoy the fights. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to go back to Reed Kuhn in Washington, D.C. Come on back. It is UFC 281. We're breaking it down here on First Strike on DC.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Start your morning with VSiN's newest podcast, VSiN Daily Morning Bets. Josh Applebaum gets you ready for every piece of information you need to know to bet the day's biggest games in just 15 minutes. He discusses line movement, injuries, and what you need to be looking for before you make those bets. So make VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast part of your morning routine. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Back here on VSiN, Dave Ross here for First Strike in Las Vegas. Always a pleasure to go back to Washington, D.C. to catch up with Reed Kuhn. Of course, does a great job for us and also at ESPN. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at Fightnomics, the author of a book of the same name. Reed, do you have another book coming out? Because I think you hinted that you might be writing a second one.
No plans yet. slow down. I realize some of the stats are dated, but hopefully the concepts are still valid. But no plans yet to do an updated version.
I didn't mean to give you any.
If I do, I guess I have to call it Superfightnomics.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to put more work on your plate. You already got plenty going on, my friend. Let's talk about this card at UFC 281. It should be really good on paper. We never know how they'll actually play out, but they look good here, at least with some of these names. I am curious, when you look at, say, the Diamond against Michael Chandler, you've got tons of data on Dustin Poirier. Chandler coming over as the former Bellator champion, not that many fights here in the UFC. How do you differentiate what you saw at Bellator and then what you've seen so far in the UFC?
Yeah, so you're right. The sample size is a little limited with Michael Chandler, only 28 minutes, but it's the defense that is a serious problem. So 49% head strike defense, like average, would be well into the 70s. Now, Poirier isn't great at 66, but 49, that means half of all head punches thrown at him are landing. Ooh. And that's Chandler. And he's been dropped three times now. He's been in some barn burners. And you don't know how that's going to hold up or who hits harder, but certainly the defense is a liability here. And Poirier just seems to get more and more technical with time, really knows how to find those right moments, set people up for the knockout. He accumulates damage over the course of the fight. And those are the reasons that I'm backing Dustin Poirier, let alone the fact that he also has some slick submissions. So don't forget about that.
Yeah, that's very interesting because you do not want to fight fire with Michael Chandler if you can be more technical, as you mentioned. Because you think of Poirier and some of those wild fights like he had against Justin Gaethje, he probably doesn't want to do that again with Chandler. Maybe that ring savvy that he has now could serve him well at minus 215. When you look at the Hangman here, and again, a similar question, when you fluctuate in weight classes, as Dan Hooker has done, back up to 155 now against Claudia Puelas here. How do you gauge that numbers-wise for a guy that's been going back and forth?
Well, in this case, it's more of a stylistic mismatch, and so I'm actually less concerned about the particular statistics. Dan Hooker does look really good on paper in terms of striking. He's very accurate. He has a good knockdown rate. He's scored 7 knockdowns. His defense maybe is a little soft. We've seen him in some slugfests, but that's not really going to matter because if Claudio tries to stand with Dan Hooker, he's probably going to get knocked out. He's already been dropped twice and his striking metrics aren't nearly as good. So that's a liability, but he is going to go for takedown. So the question is, can Dan Hooker keep this fight on the feet? If he does, he wins, period. If he doesn't, all of a sudden he is going to be open to submissions. And Puelas has these leg locks that have been very effective. He's like the new Ryan Hall when it comes to submitting people on the ground. So that's the opening that I see here. So I'm actually going to go upset here. I like Puelas as an underdog. I'm willing to take that plus money, even though maybe it's more of a coin flip because of the stylistic issues. But yeah, I'm going to go for Puelas and go for an upset.
And again, by sub, if you like Claudio to get it done that way, plus 250, but you're going to take the plus $1.30 here. Maybe if this one gets grounded out to a decision here and he has a lot of control time on the ground, that could be his pathway if he does not get that sub. Speaking of control time on the ground, Carla Esparza, right? The first ever champion in this division at 115 pounds. That's what she wants to do. She wants to wrestle, period. End of story, against Weili Zhang, the former champion here. And we know she'd like to keep this fight standing and throw those hands. Is it as simple as that? And what are the numbers showing you?
I think it is as simple as that. I don't think Esparza can stand and trade with Weili Zhang. Not only does Zhang willing to be in a shootout and can take a punch, clearly, but she can dish it out very, very well. Esparza has never been a good striker. Her striking has always been a setup for the takedowns. And so those takedown attempts are going to come fast. And early, hopefully, if she's playing it smart. And I say this because I'm backing Esparza as a long shot. Now, again, this is one of those situations. I don't think she has a greater than 50% chance of winning. I think she actually, she's somewhere below that. But at 3-1, I got to take that. I think she might test that takedown defense. And Zhang really has not faced an experienced grappler. She hasn't put up with a lot of attempts. I think I look back at her last few fights and no one had attempted more than one takedown against her. So she just doesn't have the experience in fighting those off. Now, again, she's trading at Team Alpha Male, a bunch of wrestlers there. Who knows how she's evolved? I'm just going strictly by the numbers, and the numbers see an opportunity for a wrestler.
And this is, we've talked about this before on the show, Reed. It's a great point where the value of Esparza plus 270 is too good to pass up. So you say you give her less than a 50% chance of winning, but the number is so big at plus 270 as the champion, knowing the technique she's going to employ, she could grind out. She didn't grind out Rose Namajunas in a fight where she didn't get a lot of takedowns, but she did enough. But that could be the thing, right? She could actually outwork Wei Li Zhang, and the judges could see it her way.
And Zhang is fairly aggressive, and she strikes wild, and that opens people up to takedown attempts. When you are a great aggressive striker, you might rely on that. You might get sucked into that firefight, and that's when someone changes levels on you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why, again, you can look at the Cookie Monster here and think she's live at plus 270. I certainly see it that way as well. Let's get to the main event here. Israel Adesanya. What's fascinating to me, and I can't wait to see you break this down by the numbers, two guys that have fought twice outside of the UFC. Pereira wins both of those, gets one by decision, gets the other one to be the only man to knock out Israel Adesanya. Now, here we are at the UFC, right? So we got MMA, true MMA at play here. How do you and the numbers take that into account for this third time, but the first time in the UFC?
Well, this is MMA, and we're going to stick with MMA-only stats. The problem is that we only have 23 minutes on Alex Pereira, and so that's a bit of an issue. But when you look at what he did, and he steamrolled through a few opponents there, he scored two knockdowns on the way. On a per-strike basis, Adesanya still has a higher knockdown rate. So that means even though we're looking very early in Alex's career, didn't have the same strength of schedule that Israel has had over the last few years, Israel still shows up as being superior on paper in terms of power, which is kind of shocking because everybody's counting that Pereira is going to be the knockout threat here. But I absolutely think it's going to be a duel. Almost no takedowns ever landed between these two guys, actually zero combined. So we're going to see them stand and trade. And if we do, I am banking on Adesanya's experience in MMA striking. He's elusive. He's rangy. And he can counter people pretty viciously. And so I'm looking for that experience. And just the fact that he's been tested in five-round fights against very good strikers, that's what's giving me some confidence here. I get the whole backstory. It makes it interesting as a fan. But purely by MMA numbers, he still has advantages here.
You know, Reed, I look at the total here, and obviously 4.5, juice slightly over at minus $1.30. And the way his method of victory is for Izzy to get it done, KO, TKO, or DQ plus $3, win by decision plus 275. You're not going to go either way here. Do you think it's too difficult to see if he can get a late round stoppage? Which way do you think it might lean as far as how long this fight could go?
There's a lot at play here. It's hard to say because we haven't seen Pereira damaged, and his defense is not great, to be honest. Three fights into the UFC and not always facing elite talent. His last fight against Strickland was a step up, but Strickland also was a former welterweight, I think. So, you know, I really have not seen him tested yet, and I don't know how he'll withstand those big shots. They will come. Adesanya will find some shots, and I don't know how long Pereira is going to last. But based on what we've seen from Israel Adesanya, 12 knockdowns to date, he's going to end up in the record books one day, and I think he might score another one here. But early fight, I think there might be some feeling out. I mean, they know a lot's on the line here. They might have a slow start, but I think once it starts flying, a late stoppage wouldn't be out of the question.
Yeah, and Sean Strickland decided not to keep his hands up against Alex that timeout, so that was not a good strategy either. I got about a minute to go here, Reed. Any other fight, either on the prelims or the main card, that you still see some value in?
Montel Jackson, really like him. When you line up his stats with Julio Arce, just like check marks all the way down. If you've seen my Uber tail of tape that I sometimes share on Twitter, Jackson has a lot of advantages, so I like him as a justifiable favorite. And then there's another wrestler, Negimiranu, a Romanian champion wrestler facing a former kickboxer. Again, complete stylistic mismatch. Whoever keeps the fight in their position is going to win here. But if I'm getting even or plus money on a wrestler, I'll take it.
I know how you always lean to those wrestlers, and the data normally bears that out. Very, very smart move, certainly long term. Hey, Reed, appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy the fights. We'll catch up again next week. There he is, everybody. Reed Kuhn joining us from Washington, D.C. I want to thank all of our guests, Reed Kuhn, Dan Vreeland, Jordan Sherwood, and Lou Finicaro, for joining us here on this edition of First Strike. UFC 281, two title bouts in an absolutely stacked card. Enjoy the fights, everybody. Make some money. We'll see you next week right here. First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for watching First Strike. Of course, subscribe on YouTube, and we always have First Strike First Look for you each and every Tuesday as we give you the best of the numbers before we get to First Strike each and every Friday. So download on iHeart, Apple, or your favorite podcast. Thanks for watching First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.